Hello and welcome to the CBS Sports Fantasy Basketball Today podcast. I'm Chris Towers, joined by Joe Polito. Joe, what's
greetings.
Up?
How's it going?
Mondays are busy. Sundays are busy.
I know. You got to catch up on Westworld, right?
I don't.
And the HBO shows, right?
I don't. My wife works for HBO, but I don't watch the shows. I should probably support
really
her.
Really supportive husband.
But, you know, I just...
Well, there's more reasons to watch the HBO shows than to support your wife that works there.
I'm sure they are very...
The cream of the crop.
People seem to like them. I just... there's too much. They're too intense. I like Silicon Valley.
Yeah, that's more of your ilk.
I like high maintenance.
The 30-minute.
Give me 30 solid minutes, 22 minutes plus commercials.
No, not and on HBO. Clearly,
they're giving me an hour, and I got to try to remember all these names. And there's like
there are a lot of names.
Snuffleupagus, especially of the North, and it's just like I can't with the thrones and the worlds and. It's too much.
Keep it simple for you, huh?
Too much. Just give me
a It's like
me
a neighborhood? You want to start with a neighborhood before you go to the
whole...
Can
they put a laugh track on Westworld? Or like, can we do like...
That actually would make it even creepier.
West
it might
Town
work.
First?
Gotcha. You
know? I think that's the way to go. So, no, that's not how I spend my Sundays. I spend my Sundays watching sports. Like I spend every day. We're here with the week six.
And
it's so hard to keep track. I mean, we've got football.
Basketball weeks aren't really a thing.
We've got football. It's like week 12 or 13 in the NFL. We've got week 6 in the NBA already. It's crazy. Season's moving by so fast. So we're going to preview week 6. We're going to have some of the biggest lineup news, some of the big injury news. We're going to have a look at waiver wire. We're going to have a look at the schedule. We're going to talk about some of the rookies through the first roughly quarter-ish of their rookie campaigns. But first, the big news, the biggest news. Blake Griffin said he felt some swelling in his right knee after Sunday's blowout loss to the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, shouldn't have gone to that Cowboys game.
They scored 70 points against the Pacers. That's bad. That's not a good showing for
the team that
we've
been right,
arguably the best in the
elite.
NBA so far. So we'll see what happens with them moving forward. Blake Griffin said the swelling in his right knee seems like a minor issue. The Clips play against the Nets on Tuesday, and I would say there's a chance he sits out that game. You know, even if it's a minor injury, you're going against the Nets. It seems like a good opportunity to get him some rest. They do play four times this week. Al Horford will be missing Monday's game after the birth of his second child, and I think...
Congrats, Al.
Yeah, congratulations, Al. I thought I saw that Hassan Whiteside might sit out Monday's game as well. I was listening to, he has a left knee injury, so questionable for Monday's game, might be without the two big men in that one, and, you know, if Whiteside does play, would be a big opportunity with no Al Horford. The Celtics already a pretty bad rebounding team. He could have a big game, so keep an eye out on that for your DFS purposes. The Magic decided to shake up their starting lineup, and...
Results were weird.
Well, it was a weird decision. Like, it didn't make any sense. I know Jeff Green wasn't playing, but they had DJ Augustine, mm-hmm. Evan Fournier, Aaron Gordon, Serge Ibaka, and Bismack Biyombo, right?
Correct.
I don't understand what you're trying to accomplish with this lineup change. I mean, you're trying to get more shooting on the floor with DJ Augustine, and I get that, but... Yeah,
It seemed like the guys who they benched still ended up doing all right.
They still played mostly their typical minutes. Aaron Gordon actually played really poorly in that game, 0 for 12. Vucevic had 17 and 16 in 30 minutes. Alfred Payton still played 29 minutes off the bench, scored 16 points, had 3 assists. So I'm not sure this changes much. Maybe it pushes DJ Augustine.
If anything, it's an indictment on Eric Gordon, who had all the opportunity in the world in this one and went 0 for 12.
Because it doesn't really change his situation. He's playing out of position at the small forward.
Can't stretch the floor.
Yeah, he can't stretch the floor. And then even with DJ Augustine in there, now you've got DJ Augustine, Evan Fournier, and Serge Ibaka, who can shoot. I still just don't think it changes things that much. Aaron Gordon... probably just not suited to play the three, probably doesn't have quite enough off the dribble game. It's like a situation where he has the off the dribble game to be a playmaking four,
Right.
He has enough there, but
yeah.
Once you start going against quicker small forwards who are more used to guarding the perimeter, you probably reach a point of diminishing returns there.
He's not offensively skilled enough to play on the wing, even though he can do some of those things.
Yeah.
And there's no space down low in Orlando.
Yeah, especially not with Bismack Biyombo playing there. So I don't think this starting lineup change really changes anyone's fantasy outlook. This remains an oddly put together team that just doesn't quite fit, which has been the case in Orlando since the Dwight Howard.
Yeah, if anything, you were worried if you're Vucevic starting him, and he still did his thing. Same with Peyton, so I guess you don't have to panic too much.
Yeah, and they definitely seem like a team. One thing that's going to be very interesting in the next little more than 2 weeks is that teams are eligible to make trades, or players that were signed this offseason are eligible to be traded starting December 15th. I think there's December 15th is players that signed this offseason. January 15th is when players who signed extensions can be traded. I think the Rockets set the deadline for Donatas Motiejunas at November 23rd last week to sign a contract because they wanted to make sure he would be eligible to be traded. I think it's 3 months after you sign, you can be traded or something like that. So that's kind of why they set that deadline. So there are some potential moves coming.
Yeah,
and the Rockets are a team that always is ripe for a trade.
I think there's just lots of teams that you just don't know where they're headed in the big picture sense. And hopefully that means we get a nice, exciting
trade. I mean, you look at teams, you just look at every team in the league, and it's Toronto could make a trade. Boston could make a trade. The Knicks, I don't know.
They could make a trade, but it's sort of...
But, it wouldn't surprise me if half the league is willing to make a trade. And so it could be a really interesting, because after the free agent signings this offseason, nobody really has money this offseason either. It's a really... Teams did not plan all that well. The guys who were free agents last year were the lucky ones.
We're about to be invaded by people trying to take the conference room. Don't let them, Chris. Block the door.
We'll see. So the Magic are a team that could be ripe for a trade. The Milwaukee Bucks, also a team that could be ripe for a trade.
They're doing some funky things with their lineup.
Greg Monroe back in the rotation after basically being out for 4 games, and John Henson benched completely after being in the starting lineup.
Let's look at Monroe's per 36 numbers. It's not like he's been particularly ineffective.
He's been fine.
He's been doing his thing.
It's just
Jason Kidd says he's playing matchups.
Yeah,
but
Jason Kidd's versatility as a coach is a strong asset. I think it makes him a solid coach. But one, it's got to be absolutely infuriating to play for him. And it's just not good for fantasy. We want predictability.
I think it's an asset if you're a competitive team who, switching things can, you always have the same goal in mind all year and your guys are established. But he's got a team that with lots of young talent and sort of new to the team. I don't know. I don't think it's a huge asset for them right now.
Yeah. Jeremy Lin missed his 11th straight game recently dealing with that hamstring injury that just...
Come on, Jeremy. I need you in my points league. Come on back, buddy.
It's been... they have no reason to rush him back. They're going nowhere fast. And also, he did have a setback while recovering from that, so they're going to take it a little easier. And it's just hamstrings are tough. That's the real big thing, is that hamstring injuries just... They never heal on a fixed timetable, and you can never... Never count on that.
Yeah,
so.
Can't drop him, but, got to be a little worried that might linger.
Pacers will be without Paul George for 2 more games. I believe that rules him out for the entirety of Week 6, which is great, because in one league, I have him, Chandler Parsons, Nerlens Noel, and Derek Favors. So I will be starting Paul George this week. It's going to be awesome. I believe it's in our Trust the Process league, in our office league. So that's great. Not a great situation for me right now. I've got a lot of Paul George, a lot of Chandler Parsons, and a lot of Reggie Jackson. So I'm just...
Those are your favorite guys, and all decide to get the hurt at the same time.
I'm waiting. Indiana plays twice this week. Glenn Robinson the third has been playing pretty well.
Not the second.
The Pacers tend to do this. They tend to have these guys that don't really do anything for a couple years after they draft them, but then they really tend to come on. We saw it with Solomon Hill last year. We saw it with Paul George and Lance Stevenson
He's playing a ton of minutes, too. I mean, while George is out. But it's not like if you pick him up, you're not exactly starting him because they only have two starts. So
and then Paul George might be back next week. Right. So it's hard to say Glenn Robinson is worth investing in. I will say that if you're looking on the waiver wire, I would say Jamal Murray is someone that definitely needs to be getting a look. And we'll talk about some of the rookies besides Jamal Murray. This is another one, though, kind of like Orlando, that it's a little tricky when it comes to the minutes. You look at 35 minutes on Wednesday, 34 minutes on Friday, Sunday against the Suns, great matchup. He puts up 9 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists in 22 minutes. It's just they're weirdly deep.
And it seems like they just kind of go with the hot hand, too. So Murray comes out firing, he's hitting, they just let him go. But
you look at the last 5 games, 19 points per game. You look at the last 10, 15 points per game. He's getting a couple of assists per game. He's shooting the ball well. So Jamal Murray, not quite. He's kind of still in between positions. He's not a one. He's not quite quick enough for the two, maybe. But really good shooter, good enough playmaker. Has a chance. Denver, another team that seems absolutely ripe for a trade. So
the talent's there. It seems like they like him, so you just hang on to him, see what happens. He's only 73% owned, so it's something you want to someone you want to stash on the end of your bench for sure.
Frank Kaminsky is up 26%, up to 64%. That's he's been playing a lot more with Marvin Williams out, but he's actually just been playing well lately.
Well, you think about what Marvin Williams does, you know, Kaminsky's not necessarily a defensive stalwart, but he's tall enough to sort of, you know, defend down there and then stretch it out as well like Marvin does for them in the corner.
Kaminsky played 81 games as a rookie, had just one double-double, only 2 games with more than 20 points. I believe he has 2 games with more than 20 points just in his last five. Over the last five, averaging 15.6, 5.4 rebounds, 3 assists, I believe 2 3-pointers per game, shooting the ball well. Not a traditional center.
No.
But with the way he's playing right now and the minutes with Roy Hibbert limited still, Cody Zeller, I believe, has dealt with injuries recently. Frank Kaminsky getting playing time, making the most of his opportunity.
He's a third as well, like Glenn Robinson. Frank Kaminsky the third.
There you go. I don't think Jeremy Lamb is a third, but he took advantage of
this
a big
like
opportunity.
Easily the third time we've talked about him in 3 years of being up next for fantasy.
I've given up on him. Like, I really have. I just...
Chris.
I have...
He's so young.
He's not that young.
He looks young.
He can't really shoot, even though he's supposed to be a shooter.
He's got wingspan.
He did have 18 points and 17 rebounds in 36 minutes with Nick Batum out last week, so at least he made the most of that opportunity. I believe he's only the second player with a game of 18 and 17 this season, along with Kevin Durant. You know, former teammates, learn something from him, I guess. He's up to 23% owned. I'm not interested in adding Jeremy Lamb at this point. I need to see a lot more.
Yeah, I would rather have Frank Kaminsky for this team. You think Kaminsky could carve out a role more easily.
And Jermichael Green up to 54% owned. Those are your four most owned players or most added players over the last week in CBSSports.com leagues. And Jermichael Green has had a decent season. He was pretty good last year, and he's had a little bit of an up-and-down campaign so far, but averaging 13.4 points, 8 rebounds per game over the last 5, 32 minutes. He's topped 30 minutes in 4 straight. So, Jermichael Green, worth a look.
Yeah, Grizzlies are bad. Injured.
Yes. The four guys who are on the way down, Sergio Rodriguez, down 14% to 55%. At this point, 55% is probably too high. We were excited about him.
Yeah, in a categories league for sure.
Jared Bayless is back. He's gone. Sergio Rodriguez has gone way cold. Even he played well on Sunday with Jared Bayless out. I think he had 12 points.
Yeah, I guess the
assists.
One thing that might save him is Bayless is still dealing with wrist things.
Yeah, and I wonder if that was just they play Sunday, they play Monday. Maybe they wanted to keep Jared Bayless healthy or able to play in one half of the back-to-back, and they just decided maybe Embiid sits out Sunday. They want Bayless on Monday. We'll see if he plays. Because it didn't sound like the injury was too big of a deal, and then he was kind of a late scratch in that one. So we'll see, but it's just
it's pretty much
like
a steals and assists specialist. If you don't need those categories, definitely don't.
And especially because he's going to hurt you in field goal percentage at this point.
Right.
Marvin Williams down to 67%. He's been disappointing this season. Now he's hurt. Aaron Gordon, like we talked about. I mean,
a lot of people still got Aaron Gordon on their team, though.
84% owned still. And, you know, even after he stepped into the starting lineup last year, it was like there were a lot of interesting things about Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, he's... I think he's a lot more fun for real life prospects than fantasy. I mean, you want a guy like him to be good, and he still has a chance to, because obviously he's not 21. In a good situation. He's super young, but even I think a good version of Aaron Gordon, I'm just not sure what that looks like on the stat sheet. Like,
ideally, he's someone that, you know, could score 15 points a game, get 8 rebounds per game.
Kind of like
dish out a couple of assists.
Julius Randle has been doing.
Kind of, but with better defenses. Like that. That's what Aaron Gordon should be able to do, is give you, you know, 1.5 blocks, 1.5 steals per game. He's not even at 1 in either category, and so it's kind
Andre
of,
Kirilenko could be maybe
yeah,
his,
that would
his
be
upside.
Kind of a best-case scenario for Aaron Gordon, but it's hard to see how it's going to happen on this team with this roster. With his game.
Yeah, I think he needs to do a little soul-searching with his game as well, because he's so young, he's so exciting, but I think maybe when you're trying to do too much, you end up doing nothing.
And just, if he was a 4, I think his numbers would be up across the board. It's just not a good situation for him right now. And
ooh, if he was like playing 4 for the Rockets, that'd be spicy.
Or like a team like Philadelphia, but it's just hard to see how he...
Yeah,
Frank
Vogel's
and they're not going to sit Serge Ibaka. They gave up too much for him.
Sorry, Aaron.
It's a bad situation. I'm not saying drop him, but...
I mean, if you see someone enticing, yeah. I probably would. I just don't see the upside. I mean, I guess you can hang out till after trade season, see what shakes out, but it's not looking good.
Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, also down 10%, down to 44%. He's another guy who's dealing with an injury right now. Sean Kilpatrick's been filling in for him. So, just a kind of a tough situation for him. I'll also throw out, you're probably going to want to cut Ish Smith at the end of this week. Reggie Jackson, Stan Van Gundy said he expects Reggie Jackson to play in the first week of December. Doesn't expect him to play on their upcoming road trip, but December 4th against Orlando, I believe, is when they return home. I would guess they'll keep Reggie Jackson coming off the bench for maybe the first few games, but... Ish Smith is just kind of a fringy guy as is, so you can go ahead and drop him. Sean Kilpatrick, worth picking up. I believe he has 11 assists and 10 assists and 39 points in his last two games. And you never feel great about it, but you probably should pick up Deion Waiters.
Yeah, the last time we talked, I said I would rather have the other Heat guards, and Deion must have heard me. But, I've been watching the Heat, and he's playing... Again, like, sort of within the system, still doing his Deion thing.
Can I just, like, does he realize he's allowed to just jump straight up when he shoots a jumper? He doesn't have to fade away every time he takes a jumper.
No, the form is
pretty bad. I know it
looks
cooler.
I don't even think so.
But
it might feel cooler.
Yeah.
His swag increases with every shot he takes, which for players like him is important.
Men lie, women lie, buckets don't.
Right.
He scored in double figures just 3 times in the first 8 games of the season, but he scored at least 11 in each of the last 8, averaging 19 points, 4.4 assists.
He's definitely benefiting from Goran Dragic being hurt because...
And Justice Winslow.
Yeah, but more so Dragic just because their offense is well spaced, but when the going gets tough, they kind of just look for someone who can make a move, and Deion's like the only guy on the floor that can do it right now.
He's definitely willing and to a certain extent able.
He's had nice touch on the glass on his drives and stuff. Yeah. He gets a lot of and ones. It's a lot of two-pointers, though. Like, he had a good game from 3 the other night. But, yeah, you pick him up while Goran's kind of hurt, and the Heat have a lot of injuries right now, I think.
They're missing Goran Dragic and Justice Winslow. Not sure if they'll be back. I would guess they'll be back sometime in Week 6, but, you know, not a sure thing from what I've seen on either one. So, that's an issue. We talked about Jamal Murray. He's one of two rookies, just two rookies, averaging... more than 10 points per game. He's actually the only rookie in the 2016 draft class averaging more than 7.6 points per game. It's fair to say this has been a disappointing rookie class. So I wanted to talk about some of the guys, get a feel for what they've been doing before we look at the Week 6 schedule. I don't think we need to spend too much time on Joel Embiid.
Technically a rookie.
technically a rookie. There are two technical 76ers rookies on this list, and the one actual 2016 drafted rookie has not played yet. So there you go. That's the story of the 76ers right now. Joel Embiid is just he's pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
I don't know how much time we need to spend talking about him. He's not playing on back-to-backs yet, so you know that's a concern. They're still limiting his minutes. He was frustrated in their overtime game against Memphis last week, I think Wednesday, because he wasn't able to play in the second overtime. That's just kind of going to be the case.
Yeah, he's still a sell high for me. I'm like really loving watching him play and everything, but if he's on my team, I feel like I've gotten a great start out of him and that his value's pretty much going to peak here in the beginning of this season and, you know, go get something more with more longevity for him.
More sustainable. There's still the injury risk. Over the last six games, he's averaging 17.5 points on 12.3 shots per game, 8.7 rebounds, 1.7 assists, 2.3 blocks. He's turning the ball over a ton, but
yeah, he's a high usage player. The blocks are what, you know, is sort of giving you pause if you want to trade him because he gets in the game for 20 minutes and gets three blocks. Like, there's, you know, like you've been saying, Whiteside's kind of the only player that can do that sort of thing consistently. So you'd imagine if he gets to 30 minutes, you know, towards the middle of the year, who knows what he could be doing. But it seems like the 76ers know what they're dealing with in terms of how lucky they are to have him, how well he's playing, and just the overall misfortune of the franchise. So I don't think they're going to be rolling the dice with him.
What I want to ask first, as you've got the same list of all the rookies who have played at least 200 minutes. There are 19 of them in the NBA. How many of them do you think are worth owning
in a 12-team
categories league?
Not a whole lot. I mean, you look at the top minutes guys, even, you know, Andrew Harrison is third. And my 30 deep team is really loving his production, but he's averaging 6 points a game.
And he's shooting 28%.
Right. It's more like he just gets steals and kind of wreaks havoc. But yeah, a lot of them seem to be sort of like role players, you know, which is interesting because you thought of all the talent that you saw in the draft.
Yeah,
you think
I
they're going to be like
draft class
franchise guys. But even, you know, like Chris Dunn is kind of settling into a role player position.
I mean, you look at a couple of the guys that should have been relatively NBA ready. Based on how much they played in college, and that's Chris Dunn and Buddy Hield. Both of them, Hield played four years in college. Chris Dunn played three. And both of them have just been abysmal. Buddy Hield shooting 35.6% from the field, 24% from three. That, I mean, he is 18 of 75 through his first 18 career games. That's a team that needed him to be good.
But you could kind of see it coming with him because he's a guy in college that always had the ball in his hand. Yeah. So even you know, he was a great three-point shooter, but he was not a Ray Allen catch-and-shoot kind of guy. He was much more Paul Pierce, ball-in-his-hand kind of guy.
He only had the one really good season. You know, he had the one season where he shot like 46% from three. Other than that, he was kind of a 37 to 38% guy.
I think he's a guy who can definitely do a lot on a team that trusts him with the ball, but the Pelicans have ball handlers. They have Anthony Davis. He's just, you know, if anything, he's a shooter, but he's not really a shooter.
I would say in a 12-team league, you definitely own Joel Embiid. You definitely own Jamal Murray at this point. Beyond that, on the rookie class, I'm not sure if Brandon Ingram needs to be owned. He's on a weirdly deep Lakers team that's actually competitive right now. Maybe if they stop being so competitive, maybe Nick Young is a candidate to be traded, but Nick Young's actually been, like, the heart and soul of the Los Angeles Lakers this year. And, like, Lou Williams' lead is third in the NBA in points scored in the fourth quarter right now. It's just the Lakers have not been as good of a team as we thought they would be for players to get, for a young guy to get opportunities. Dario Saric still figuring out his place in the league. He's actually shooting the three well, but not all that often. A little more than one per game, which you'd want to see more from a stretch four. Losing minutes to Ersan Ilyasova since that trade. I think he's very fringy in a 12-team league. I'm not sure he's much more than a bench guy. There's a lot of there are some guys though that I think are worth talking about as either potential sleepers, guys who can step up if someone gets hurt. So we'll talk about a couple of those. I would say Dario Saric for sure has an opportunity in the second half of the season. We've seen every single team that's ever had Ersan Ilyasova sour on him pretty quickly.
And the other thing is Covington is so inconsistent for them. Like, yeah. I have both of them on a points league. Like, this week I'm just shoving them both out because they have four starts.
Yeah.
But it's like, I feel like I'm like, all right, Covington's on his way back. Let's go Covington. And then Saric will be in double figures all week. They're kind of the yin and yang of that team.
Mm-hmm. Brandon Ingram, definitely someone as the season goes on. I would guess the Lakers won't continue playing this well. I would guess the Lakers won't continue playing Nick Young this much. And Brandon Ingram should benefit as we move forward. I also want to, Jamal Murray, don't get your expectations too high for him. He's not going to score 20 points per game moving forward. He's been benefiting from the absences of Will Barton, Gary Harris. They actually started Jameer Nelson and got a really good game out of him in their most recent one, which is frustrating, I would say. Don't get your expectations too high. I would say he's probably going to be like a fringy starter moving forward, but he's someone that has a chance to have a big second half, which is why, even if he's not a world beater right now, stick with him moving forward.
That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, Marquise Chris is getting an opportunity. He's starting for the Suns and actually playing better than I expected him to.
I think it takes like a actual Tyson Chandler injury, though, to force
him. It will take a trade of Tyson Chandler, a long-term injury, something like that, to really get Marquise Chris or Dragan Bender, who probably is even lower on the list. Keep the name Tomas Satoransky. He's really interesting. He's a really intriguing playmaking type. He's got 40 assists in 270 minutes. It's pretty nice rate. Nice assist-to-turnover ratio, almost three. So he's someone to keep in mind. And maybe Chris Dunn. He's looked so bad, but the Timberwolves seem like they could make a panic trade. That wouldn't actually shock me.
So the problem is, like, the talented guys went to teams that have been stacking talented guys.
Jaylen Brown, Chris Dunn.
You're kind of in the Brandon Ingram. They're just on the bottom of the pecking order. Mm-hmm. It's not like there's, you know, world class or players that are like worlds ahead of them necessarily. It's just like you're young. This is your first year. It takes an interesting coaching situation to let guys really try and thrive when they're first in the league.
And you have to be able to, like, either of those guys, if they had just been able to step in and just blow people away, they would have been able to earn those minutes. But because they've had trouble, you know, quite getting going,
they all have weird positional questions too. Like Chris Dunn, I mean, yeah, he's a point guard because he, you know, is small enough to guard point guards and he can handle and stuff. But he's not, like, is he really a point guard? Like when you're kind of looking at it, especially when you're playing next to Ricky Rubio, who like is nothing but a point guard.
Well, and that's the question, is will they trade Ricky Rubio? If they will, then Chris Dunn has some value. If they wanted to make a big trade, I think Chris Dunn would be the better target, though. He's probably got more trade value than Ricky Rubio.
So yes.
That'll be interesting to see moving forward. And don't forget Ben Simmons, 85% owned. Got to keep stashing him if he's available. We haven't really gotten many updates.
Man, if we get like a mid-March game with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, people are going to go wild.
All the lobs. So keep him in mind. Don't forget about him. If you've got a roster spot and he's out there, definitely go add him. Let's look at the Week 6 schedule before we move on. Indiana, Phoenix, and Portland play two times this week. I would say among those three teams, Damian Lillard is the only must-start guy.
Agreed. Paul George was playing, maybe you'd give him a look, but
was,
doesn't sound like he's playing this
week. Yeah, so it doesn't sound like, and even if he plays one game, that's definitely
McCollum, maybe, because he scores a lot, but doesn't do much else. So if you need other categories, you got a guy with four starts. Maybe
you've got McCollum and Bledsoe are the two fringy guys that you can maybe get in your starting lineup. But other than that, you've pretty much got to set everyone else on this roster, on those three rosters, which is three teams on with two games. It's just, that's rough. There's going to be a lot of teams out there that are going to have to
roll the dice on someone not that great.
The teams with the best schedules this week, the Clippers are on the road, I think, for three of their four games, but they've got really nice matchups in Brooklyn, in New Orleans, against Indiana. I know they only just scored 70 points against Indiana, but
the problem is there's like no one on the Clippers who's not a must start, right?
Yeah, like, they've kind of just got like the four
guys. I guess like if they had fewer starts, you would sit J.J. Redick, but obviously you're not given this.
The one keep an eye out for Diamond Stone. The big man out of Maryland that they drafted has been dominating in the D-League.
Would you say that he's a stone in the rough?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly that. What I would say.
That's
Just down the road, really looking like an interesting prospect, worth keeping an eye on. And Sacramento, also on the road. I believe they're on the road for all four games, but they get Washington, Philadelphia, Boston, and New York. Four teams that have been not good on defense, so Sacramento.
I might start Ty Lawson this week. I still have him on my team somehow. He's not good, but they're playing him.
They're playing him.
He's still like doing assist type things in small minutes.
He'll play about 20 minutes a game. He'll get maybe 5 or 6 assists. He might be worth starting this week. They're a team that just absolutely needs to make a trade. Can we get Omri Caspi on a team?
Yeah.
Can we get him on like the Heat
or
the Thunder?
The Heat have Luke Babbitt, who's like not as good Omri Caspi. So.
Yeah, like wouldn't Omri Caspi be great on the Thunder?
Yeah.
Thunder
could
so
use anyone who can make a three.
That's true.
Speaking of the Thunder, I figured out today Russell Westbrook, if he gets 12 boards tonight, will average a triple-double.
If he had one more rebound in their most recent game, he would be averaging a triple-double right now.
Because he's at like 9.9 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Go get him, Russ.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
Don't sit Russ this week.
Definitely not. Even though they only play 3 times, I think you probably still keep them in your lineup.
Yeah, it's a tough choice.
And the teams with the worst schedules, the three with two games on the schedule, obviously, Portland has the worst of the two. They've got Indiana and Miami. Miami's actually been really good on defense this year.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that'll be sustainable, but we'll see.
Yeah.
And Denver. They've also got Miami. They've got Houston in the middle, which is a really nice game. But then I think they're at Utah, so that's tough for Denver. That's it. That's all for our week 6 schedule breakdown. I believe I will have a podcast tomorrow. Joe, I don't know if you'll be invited, but we'll see.
We'll see. It'll be a mystery.
You're definitely invited. I don't know why I said that. I just don't know if you'll be able to go.
No, I like it better when I don't know if I'm invited or
not. Well, we'll see.
Makes it seem more important when I get the call.
We'll see if you're up for it.
All right.
If you're worthy. All right. That's going to do it. Joe, thanks so much.
Anytime, Chris.
Week 6. We'll see you next time.